When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Heard Tell.
So let's talk about the death penalty for a minute. The Indiana Capital Chronicle, Casey Smith wrote the piece. We will link to it in the notes, especially on the Substack, hertel.substack.com. Make sure you're subscribing, but read the entire piece and the link stuff, because this is a complicated issue. Look, I don't have an agenda here. We have covered the death penalty on this program multiple times. We have whole interviews about it. You can look all those up, the various interviews and times we've covered this topic. But this particular story brings up one of the things that I think we don't talk about because it's the inconvenient part of all this. The long and the short of it, just to summarize, again, go read Casey Smith's entire piece. They have gone to what's called the one-dose method. And the one-dose method uses pentobarbital. I think I'm saying that right. That is a barbiturate that basically suppresses and depresses the entire body system, brain function, whatever, until you overdose on the one drug and you die. This replaced the previous system where you had three different drugs, and one was a barbiturate to suppress your function, one was a paralyzer, and then you got the one that stops your heart. There's been lots of coverages about botched lethal injections. Now, they botched other methods. The lethal injection stuff really got a lot of ground back in 1982 when they botched a electric chair execution, and they had to zap the guy like four different times over 45 minutes, and it was apparently very gory and horrible, and that began the push to lethal injection. That's the backstory of where we're at. Lethal injection is now used. Every now and then, somebody will find a loophole in a state to get firing squad or something creative, but mostly lethal injection is the method preferred because it is, quote unquote, and I'm doing air quotes if you're listening on the podcast, not on the video, more humane. This is the nut of the whole problem with this. There's a moral and a spiritual argument against the death penalty, and I respect people that hold that we should never have the death penalty ever under any circumstances, no matter what. I respect their opinion. I don't fully agree with it. The death penalty is the ultimate exercise of government power. We are going to judicially and through the law and say the government is officially sanctioning the murder and death of a human being. And yes, it's conviction, so we don't call it murder, but you're still going to kill the person. Here's the problem with executions. There's no way to kill somebody without killing them. And I'm not just being pedantic or fun with my phrasing here like I do sometimes. You got to kill them. And there's no good way to kill somebody. You got to make their life stop. And that's the problem with the current debate on the death penalty that we're having, is people don't want to deal with that icky little fact. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I've said this on this program and in writing and in interviews before, I get like 99.8% there on no death penalty, no matter what, because the judicial system has flaws in it, because there's moral questions to it, there's spiritual questions to it. Is our government built to administer the ultimate justice correctly? I think there's a great argument that it is not. I get almost there, and then some deplorable wretch puts a baby in a microwave, and we're like, no, this person needs to be removed from the planet, and I just can't get there. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not trying to start a thing. That's just where I'm at today on the death penalty after years and years of thinking about it, covering it, reading about it, writing about it. I can almost get there, but there's some people, some human beings that are just so blatantly disregard for human life that no, they should not be here anymore. And getting three square meals a day for 40 years with relative comfort is not justice. That's just where I'm at on it. The problem I'm having, and I think we need to discuss, and I hear too few people talking about it, and if you're one of those people that's just death penalty, no matter what, should always be banned, I understand you may not want to get down this alley, but that's okay. The people who want to have the death penalty, this thing where we are chasing a humane way to execute people is getting less humane by the minute because we are so obsessive over an impossible goal, humanely killing somebody, that we're making it less humane to do it. What do I mean by that? Well, this article with Casey Smith and what she brings up is a common refrain to two problems with the death penalty. One of them I have a huge problem with. As it's become more complicated and chasing the needle on this horrible idea that we're going to have an utterly painless, perfectly sanitized execution with no mess, no fuss, no nothing, and the person that's being executed doesn't so much as twitch at anybody, the more we've done that, the more problems they've had and the more quote-unquote botches, horrible term, but for lack of a better way that everybody understands what I'm going to say, breaks in protocol, whatever you want to call it, the more and more they chase this where the guy just quietly lays on the gurney and goes to sleep and doesn't make a fuss about it, which is what they're trying to get to, the less humane this is getting. And one of the ways these governments, especially the state-level governments, are dealing with it is they're getting rid of the accountability and the transparency of the process. They're not letting media in to watch it. There's not observers. There's things like this that really need to be. Look, if the state is going to execute somebody, we should have accountability and transparency in how the process went. They know the process ain't great, so they're trying to hide the process now. There's all kinds of issues with trying to find out what the actual protocols are. There's all kinds of court cases over the drugs. That's how lethal injection got basically brought to a standstill judicially for quite a while. They were holding up the courts over the actual medications because they didn't want to reveal how the mixture, the dosage, or how they did it or whatever. It's one of the reasons they went to this one dose method. You need accountability if we're going to kill somebody under the auspices of the government and justice and the American way. That's just the truth. And the other part of that we've already touched on, the lawyer came out and said, well, this is a botched execution because he made, and I'm quoting the piece here, made a violent motion. He twitched. He moved. Sometimes it takes 10, 15, 20 minutes after drugs for these people to die. Here's the problem with medical science and this idea of having a humane execution. Medical science has some hard and fast limits that we don't have measurables on when it comes to death. Anybody that's spent any time with somebody that's on the edge of death, I just did this with my aunt in hospice in the last few weeks. Was there every day for a week, twice a day, sitting with her. The medical people are just like, medically, there's no reason for this. It's just whenever she goes or she decides to go or the body shuts down, heart's pumping, breath's going in and out. But whatever was the human being that we all loved was, I think, and I'm convinced, and I've been around quite a bit of death in my life in this situation more than once. Whatever was that human being, I think, is already gone from the body. The body just keeps going. Medical science can't explain that. The idea that the human body, when faced with death in an execution situation, no matter how deplorable the person is, the human body and the physical, mental, spiritual, the parts of the body medical science can't explain, isn't going to fight back in whatever method it can figure out how to do out of a natural recourse and a natural instinct, even with drugs on board, even with all the medical science saying, no, they're unconscious, they don't feel a thing. Medical science can't explain that, but we all know intuitively your body's going to fight back. Your brain's going to fight back. Look, I can make this personal if you want. I was in a medically induced coma on a ventilator strapped to a bed. Why was I strapped to the bed? I don't remember a bit of it. I didn't feel a bit of it, but every time they tried to bring me up off propanol, I was fighting everybody and moving and trying to do damage to myself and others because mentally I was somewhere else. I don't remember a lick of it, but it happened. But medical science says I was sedated. With executions, at some point in that execution, parts that medical science doesn't explain in the body and the brain and the spirit, whatever you want to call it, it's going to go, we're dying, we have to fight, because that's the natural inclination. So the idea that you're going to get an execution where there's no twitching, no pushback, they're going to die right to the second because the body can do amazing things that science can't explain long past what people think you can do, that's not going to happen. So what's the core problem to having executions, even if you're for executions? Let's be honest about this. It's a whole bunch of cowardice. If you're going to kill somebody, you got to kill them. But we still want to find a method of killing them that doesn't involve actually killing them. We just want them to go to sleep, or we just want them to slip off. If you're going to argue that capital punishment is just that, a punishment, it's not going to be neat, clean, and painless, no matter how much you make it. And if you're not all right with that, and you don't have the sand to watch somebody twitch around on a gurney because you decided you needed to kill them and went through the judicial process to do it, and we, the people, allowed it to happen, then you don't need to do it. And that's before you get to the moral arguments, and that's before you get to the judicial arguments, and that's before you get to the spiritual arguments of capital punishment and whatever faith background you have or legal background you have or whatever moral compass you have that may or may not allow for capital punishment. We have a government that doesn't want accountability on anything. But in this, which is the ultimate life and death issue, because it's not just somebody dying, but somebody dying on purpose because the government says they have to, because a jury of their peers in a very long appellate process said there is no doubt left, although we know that that's not true sometimes, then yeah, we need full transparency. We need full accountability on every part of the process. Now, there's got to be a happy medium between the old West days of public executions. It was like a day to the fair, and having some privacy for the people going through the process and the people that are administering the process, and still having accountability and transparency. But the other end of this is, if those people and the people that order them to do it and the people that empower them to do it through the laws and through the legal system and the people that advocate for it, if you don't have the courage to actually kill the person that you're advocating needs to be killed, no, we shouldn't be doing it. And then we can also argue the morality of it and the judicial part of it and all the rest. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to kill somebody if we're going to have capital punishment. And if you're not okay with that, then we're not ready to be a society that has capital punishment, aside from anything else.
All the music on Her Tell is provided under a creative content license from MonsterCat.com. Somos
la máquina. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast for Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.